pump's been primed. Amen. So let me see your Bibles tonight. Amen. I want you to do this for me tonight. I want you to believe every word that comes out of that book. And when the preacher, and you hear from the Word of God, from the man of God, then instead of being hearers only, make a choice before you know what's coming, that it comes out of that book. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. It'd do us all good if we just made a decision. That's what we're going to do before the preaching ever came. Whatever God tells me tonight, I'll do that from His Word. Amen. Make that decision tonight. You come and preach to us.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Boy, it's great to be back at Landmark. We've sure enjoyed these few days to be able to assemble together. And we're thankful you did not give us too good of weather. And so we're okay heading back to New Hampshire tomorrow. If it was 75 or 80 degrees, we might say, let's stay a couple more days, but we're eager to get back, and we're so thankful. Thank you for that song. I've had a thought and a message on my heart for about 2.5 months, and specifically to bring us to this point tonight, if that be the will of the Lord, and convinced more than ever that that's exactly what the Lord has for us as we get into the Scriptures. And aren't you thankful for the Bible preaching that we've heard this week? And I've been encouraged. And Brother Harper, we're in that position right now at our church. And as a pastor, we're preparing to go into a building project. And we are standing. I'm praying, and I'm having the courage of Moses and the praise of Moses on the pre-Red Sea side. And so that was an encouragement to say, have it on this side and praise Him on the other side too. And but so many times we say, pray and Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And so we constantly need the preaching of the Word of God. And so thank you for your hospitality and your love for us as we've been down here. We enjoy coming back. And I enjoy seeing some of your next generation growing up and still being faithful to the Lord and the accountability with that. I asked several of them how their devotion and their walk with God is going this week. And I just believe that God's desiring to do something in these last days. And so if we don't believe that, then why are we spending day after day after day and continuing on? Why don't we just endure till He comes? But I believe that we can thrive, as your theme is for this year, and thrive this year spiritually for the Lord. I do bring greetings from our church and from my wife, Crystal. And we had a new grandbaby born almost 4 weeks ago now. And so it was hard to pry her away. And so some of y'all do understand what I'm saying right there. And so I had her ticket bought and everything. And she said, I think I'm just going to stay back. I said, oh, well, all right, but that's okay. And so I said, I didn't have to shovel snow on Monday morning. And so she didn't either. Don't worry. She don't worry. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, tonight. Turn over to Isaiah chapter number 21. Isaiah chapter number 21 is where we're closing out. And I say we're closing out this service tonight and this series of meetings. But I want to try to help us tonight if we can. And I know a lot of the church family would be here and a lot of the staff. And I want us to look into the Scriptures to try to be a help and encouragement as we look here, because I know these meetings can be long, and then you take a breather maybe tomorrow morning, and then you're getting ready for a week from Sunday and all that the Lord has. But I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter number 21, and let's just read down through the first 6 verses. It says, the burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain, Pains have taken hold upon me as the pains of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. Now, you would say, Brother Peter, why in the world are we reading verses like that? We understand, you study back here, we're not going to spend all the time on this evening, but the prophecy of Babylon, you read a few more verses further of God bringing in judgment upon Babylon, going to use Elam and Media, the Persians, being able to come in, being able to overthrow them. This time of judgment is coming, and yet he says down here in verse number 5 to prepare for the war and the battle that they are coming into. Even though in this case, listen, he still said, I want you to prepare and I want you to be ready, but it's really not going to make a difference because it's the judgment of God that is coming. But as I look down through this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, and he gave the preparations and the commands here in verse number 5, I thought how fitting it is, and there's some application that we can make that God has helped me personally with over the past several months. Yes, he said, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, and we understand the spiritual application to that. Eat, drink, arise ye princes, but I want you to see this little phrase, and anoint the shield. Anoint the shield. I underline that in my Bible, and I've studied on that and looked at that, read it several times on this subject matter of anoint the shield. Now, let me share just some background information before we get into the message. As Isaiah is saying here, from the burden of the Lord, for them to anoint the shield. Well, there were two types of shields that were being used back here in this Bible times. The one that's being used in example here of being able to anoint was more of the carrying shield that they would have on their arm as they would go into battle. Many times, just for the common warrior, that shield would be more of a round shield with an arm strap on that, but it wouldn't just be wood that they would have there, but they would stretch some skins, some animal skins and leather over the top of that shield that they were carrying. Now, the reason for that is it would protect the wood, but then there was also additional work that would be done to this. They would not just stretch these leathers. A lot of times, you go back and read that they would use many badger skins that they would use to be able to stretch over these shields. But then, you know, if you do any leather work, some of the work that has to be done to leather to be able to keep it fresh and to be able to keep it pliable. And so they would take that leather and stretch it over the front of that shield, but then they would take a lot of times an olive oil and they would actually anoint that shield. They would continually rub that shield down, and that served a couple different purposes before we get into the scriptures here. A couple different purposes. Is one, that oil would be so bright that it actually says, if you do some reading on it, that it turned that defensive article, that weapon, into an offensive weapon because the sun would reflect off the reflection, that oil that was on those animal skins, and would reflect back. Interesting correlation. If they used the badger skins for the shields, they actually, that was the same skins that would was the inner layer of the tabernacle as they traveled in the wilderness. And they had the same anointing that was on those skins for the tabernacle that they had here upon these shields when they would anoint them. Second of all, not only would it become an offensive weapon to be able to reflect back at the enemy, but it would also, as darts would be coming in, or a spear would be thrown at them, or a sword would be wielded at them, if they would hold up that anointed shield that was rubbed down with that oil, then it would actually help to protect them in a defensive manner, that it would help glance that arrow off the shield, or it would deflect that spear that was thrown at them, or it would allow that sword to be able to glance off to the side to be able to protect them as they are out in that battle. Now, as we looked at this matter of anointing the shield, there was a few things, and then we'll get into the message this evening, but there was a few things about anointing the shield that I noticed. And first of all, I saw that anointing the shield was a very personal thing that the soldier would do. Now, as we go along, you're going to start to understand what we're meaning by anoint the shield. This was a physical act that was taking place here by the soldiers, but yet a spiritual application that I believe we need to apply to each and every one of our lives. But it was a personal anointing that they would do. And so one writer put it this way. He said a soldier would never once expect another soldier to anoint his shield. He said, but it was a personal thing to make sure. It would be like this: those that have served in the military, you would never trust another soldier to tear down your gun and oil it and put it back together, because you would want to make sure that you were correct and fitted for battle and your instruments of battle were ready to go. It was a very personal thing that these soldiers would do to their own sword, their own shield, is that they would sit down and they would personally anoint their shield. Second of all, not just was it a personal anointing, but it was prioritized in their life. Another writer said this, as you study about the old battles that would take place, they said every morning, isn't that interesting? Every morning that these soldiers would sit down, they would take their shield that they would carry for the day, and they would anoint their shield before they went out into the battle. They said they would never dare step out onto the battlefield without their shield being anointed. And so they would do that personally, but then it was a priority that every morning they would make sure that their shield was anointed to be able to go out to battle. And then third of all, I saw that it was purposed to do so. You say, what do you mean? Well, this is where you can begin to see the physical application over to a spiritual application, that shield did not get anointed by accident. It didn't. If that shield was going to be anointed, may I remind us that someone had to take it personally. Someone had to make it a priority. Someone had to purpose in their heart that shield would be anointed before going out to battle. Now, before we continue on in the message, may I remind us that the Word of God has talked to us that we have a shield that we carry. Ephesians chapter number 6 says to take unto us the shield of faith. Now, we understand throughout the Old Testament, we understand that the oil that was being used not just for anointing the priest and sanctifying the articles that were in the tabernacle, but even the oil that would be poured upon Aaron's head, according to Psalm 133, that would drip down to his beard and down to the hem of his garment, and then the oil being used here to anoint the shield is a great picture of the Holy Spirit of God and His presence in our lives. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have to, at this point, walk around with a bunch of shields every day that we're going into physical battle. But when he told them here in Isaiah chapter 21 to anoint the shield, in other words, there is a battle that is coming and you better make sure that you're ready. Now, as I look down through here, I want to ask us a question. And then we're going to look at a few things in the scripture. I want to ask this question tonight. With the oil being a picture and an example of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives, let me ask you this question. Is your shield dry? Is your shield dry? You say, but Brother Peter, we're just coming out of Bible conference. I know. And if we're not careful, it is walking out of meetings like this. Now, if you say, I've never walked through a dry and a desert place, and I've never been to that place spiritually where you just feel like you're dried up and heaven is dried up and you're not hearing anything, listen, if you say you've never been there, then come shake my hand and tell me about your walk with God. Because you know as well as I do that there are times in our lives the shield's just dry. It's just dry. You say, well, I've got a shield. Sometimes we're just glad to have a shield. But is your shield dry? And as I look throughout the scriptures, I wondered at a few things on why would our shield be dry. I noticed a few things. Let me share just a few of them with you. First of all, I believe that a shield may be dry because of the newness of the shield. You say, what do you mean, the newness of a shield? Well, if it was just made and just had the leather that was stretched over it, how many know that you, boy, they do it with baseball gloves? They do it. I just got a new wallet in, and Peter was telling me that I needed to take that and tighten it right up. I got a new leather gun holster for Christmas, and he said, here's what you need to do. You need to put your gun in it. You need to tie it real tight. You need to oil it down and let it form to it. You know why? Not because there's anything wrong with it yet, because it's new. How many ever took their softball glove or their baseball glove and they said, take that baseball or that softball, put it inside that glove and tie it up real tight, oil it down, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to form to that and be more pliable. Here's what I got thinking in 2025. I said, listen, we've got a lot of young preachers. I know they're here in the first few rows right here, scattered about our teenagers that are around, young married that are trying to live for God. And I thought, listen, we have been farming out the education of the Holy Spirit of God to every other religion out there instead of just teaching them about the anointing of God upon their lives. I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee for 13 years. The Church of God International Headquarters. And I was in a little barbecue place one afternoon grabbing a sandwich, and I sat down and I tried to start talking to the man that was there and said he was a saved man, came over, started talking to me. He said, I'm a pastor at the Church of God, named one of the 50 that were there just in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I said, well, I'm a missionary with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and I'm a member down here at Shenandoah Baptist Church. And we started talking. Here's what he said to me. He said, the Baptists have always been real good at evangelism, and I'm thankful for their part in the kingdom of God. He said, but they get saved and then come get discipled and full of the Holy Ghost down at the Church of God. Now, he was taking that as a compliment to try to give it to the Baptist, but I thought, listen, the newness of some Christians, we ought to be teaching them about the anointing and the filling of the Holy Ghost of God in their life. Now, I believe at the moment of salvation that you are getting all the Holy Ghost that you will ever get in your life, but the continual yielding to the Holy Ghost. So there may be some that's here and say, listen, you know how it is when you're first saved, you hear the testimony. Hey, son, a drunk gets saved and maybe gets saved. I heard this testimony on a Wednesday night. And then on Friday night, he walked back into the bar just like he did every Friday night. But something was different. He said, I sat down at that bar. He said, I ordered what I usually order. He said, they came and set that down in front of me. He said, I picked that up, took one sip. He said, and something inside of me said, don't that taste horrible? Now listen, because of the newness of Christianity, he may not have known that that was the Holy Ghost of God that was speaking in his heart and life. But guess what? They need to be taught about the Holy Ghost speaking to them. They need to be taught when they're opening the Word of God and they're reading things and God's speaking to their hearts. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't allow these false religions to take the doctrine of the Holy Ghost of God away from us just because we have new Christians. The newness of the shield, they just may be starting out. It's a brand new shield that they've got. Boy, I don't know anything about it. Kind of like coming alongside and teaching someone to shoot a gun, right? Hey, listen, it's okay to do it. You taught right. And I thought, anoint the shield. I said, it may need to be anointed because of the newness of it. And be able to work that in. And boy, it needs to be anointed. We need some young folks that'll get on their face before God and call out to God. You remember the day, listen, some old time preachers, you remember the day when you were on your face before God and you said, God, I'm not getting up. I'm not leaving this place till I know the touch of God is upon me. And I know that the anointing of the Lord is upon my life. And I wouldn't dare step up and do any service for the Lord except my shield is anointed. Well, listen, let's not get away from it. The newness of the shield. But then I don't think that that's our main problem today, because we've all been doing this for a while, haven't we? We've all been doing it. I believe, second of all, not just the newness of the shield, but I believe we need to anoint the shield because of neglect. I'll say that again. We need to anoint the shield because of neglect. We've gotten to the point, and I'll say it even in our good Bible preaching churches, that listen, we've got the whole thing down. We know when to act. We know when to step forward. We know when to say this. We know when to say amen. We know when we're supposed to behave. We know when we're supposed to knock on a door. But we're doing it all in the power of the flesh. We were burdened over the last part of our year about the fruit of the Spirit. And we had 9 different men, including myself, take one part of the fruit and be able to teach it to our adult class. And we started off at the beginning of that in Galatians chapter number 5. And I want to encourage us on this. Listen, it gets very exhausting to try to produce the fruit of the Spirit in the power of the flesh. It is exhausting. The flesh wears down. But we know we're supposed to love people, so we love people in the power of the flesh. And we're neglecting the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Look what happened. This happened to a man. You'll know him. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1 at the death of Saul and Jonathan. May I remind us, as much as we say about Saul, he was the anointed of the Lord. And David said, when he was in that cave and everybody said, hey, well, why don't you go kill him? He said, I'll not raise my hand. I'll not touch the anointed of the Lord. Cut off the hem of his skirt right there and showed him. Saul said, you're more noble than I am. Understand, Saul was anointed. Here's his death. I want you to see this, what the Bible says, especially about him and his shield. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 1, in verse number 19, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For there, listen to this, the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Do you understand how they're responding to Saul? Now listen, this is the heathen and the pagan people, how they're treating Saul and Jonathan and saying it's come to a point. Listen, when it came to a point that the shield of Saul was vilely cast away with no respect and no power but for him being anointed of God, he said it was vilely cast away as though he had never been anointed. And I thought, you know what happened in Saul's life? There came to a point that he neglected his anointing of God. He neglected it. And if we're not careful as we're in this battle and we're preparing, we'll get to the point that we're just going through the motions. We'll get to the point that I've got the prestige and I've got the position and I've got everything down on my practice and I know what I'm doing. But if you're not careful, you'll just finish up in the power of the flesh. Now, can you imagine everything? The anointed of the Lord and his shield is vilely cast away as if it had never been anointed. Can you imagine that being said about the man of God or the woman of God today or the church of God today? Rejected. Cast away. What did Paul say? Bring my body under subjection. Lest at the end of it, listen, what's he called? He doesn't want to be called a castaway. Yeah. And I thought, Lord, if we're not careful, listen, the newness of it, we better be pouring into this next generation and teaching them about the anointing and the power of God. And don't you dare go out and do anything without the touch of God on you. But then we get going so long, we're just doing it in the power of the flesh. We're just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. And before we know it, we come to the end of it. You remember what Jesus said in John 15? Without me, you can do nothing. You say, but I'm doing it every week. Can you imagine getting to heaven and you've been faithfully serving and doing and checking off the list for 50 years at Landmark Baptist Church? And get up to heaven and God say, I don't have record, you did a thing. I got nothing. Well, why is that? I did this and did that. It was all in the power of the flesh. Neglecting, stepping out to battle, saying, I've got this one. I believe it was kind of like, and you know the story, as Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah and she chopped the power and the presence of God off his head and he got up, didn't even know it, and said, I'll just go out as at other times. You know what he was doing? Neglecting the anointing. Boy, he wasn't protecting it. He wasn't making sure. Hey, listen, there's some that put more oil and anointing into their firearms than they do into their walk with God. The anointing because of neglect. But then I believe we're in a good church. I do. I believe that the Word of God is preached from this pulpit every week. I believe that, not a doubt in my mind. I believe every Sunday school class, I believe that the Word of God is taught. I believe the gospel is given out. You say, we're not neglecting, so why is it? Is your shield dry? I believe, thirdly, because of the never-ending battle. The never-ending never-ending battle. You see, there's a second shield that is mentioned in the scripture. And it's the shield that would be referenced over in Ephesians chapter number 6 that says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, that shield of faith was more like, and it was referenced in the Old Testament, that there would be a shield bearer. It was more of a body shield that would go before. Remember the armor bearer, the shield bearer going out before Goliath. It was a full body shield, sometimes 5 foot tall, sometimes three and a half foot wide. Most of the time just made out of a solid piece of wood. Interesting things about this type of shield, that those shields were actually made to be able to interlock one toward to the next. So everybody would get out there on the battlefield and you would set your body a shield there, and the next one would come next to you and that shield would interlock there. And the next one would interlock there, and all the way down on either side gives new meaning to looking for a man to stand in the gap. Someone didn't show up with their shield. But these shields that were made of wood, history would say this, that the soldiers, the night before a battle, they would take that body shield of wood and take it out and submerge it in the creek or the brook or the river that was there. And they'd weigh that down all night long. Does anybody know what happens when you submerge wood in water? Soaks it all up. Boy, I bet it got heavy. But you understand, they would pull that shield back up out of that water. They would walk back out onto that battlefield. And listen, all of those fiery darts would be coming in at them. But can I say, a good water-soaked shield, those fiery darts would come in, quench them. Quench them. Now, if your shield's not anointed, if your shield's not soaked, if it's not treated, that fiery dart comes in. Boy, it can set that wood on fire. Then you have a burning shield instead of quenching the fiery darts. But you see, here's what would take place. I believe they got into some long battles. Let me ask you something, church. How many of y'all been in the battle for a while? And you're not on purpose neglect. See, I think neglect has intention behind it. But I feel like many times we're just in the battle. You're faithful in the battle. You've been working all this week and last week in preparation for Bible conference, and you're going to breathe tonight, and you're going to breathe tomorrow morning, and then 9:30 is going to roll around. And the Holy Spirit of God's going to remind you, you know, them ladies are meeting over there and they're getting ready to go knock on some doors and make some visits. Amen. And we're going to say, it's been a long time in the battle. Hey, listen, I'm not going to ask if you've ever got wore down, because I know you have. I'm not going to ask if you've ever been to the point that shield of faith just got heavy for you to continue to carry that, because I know it has. And it's at that point we've got to choose to believe. We've got to anoint the shield. We must get on our face before God and say, God, I'm tired. I'm wore down. Listen, you get there spiritually and physically and emotionally, and what needs to be done is, listen, let's take some time, get on our face before God and say, God, I need that touch again. Because listen, we do have an unction from the Holy One. We do. But we just got to anoint the shield. Let me ask you something. I don't know what you're going through personally. I don't know what you're going through as a family. I don't know the burdens that you're carrying and still on the battlefield and still continuing on for God. But let me ask you something. Has your shield gotten dry? And you just say, I need that touch of God again. You see, that touch of God's going to bring the joy back for ministering to the Lord. That touch of God's going to bring that endurance back, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we'll be able to continue on and be able to go another mile. We get that touch of God on us, and it's amazing what God is able to do. Not trying to produce it in the power of the flesh, but with the touch of God on us. And say, God, I need you more than anything. And make it a priority to say, listen, I'm not stepping out of here till my shield's anointed, because it's dry. It can get dry in the battle. I think about, and I believe probably a good example of it, even though it talks about a sword, is when he stood up there and he was defending that plot of ground, and it says that his hand clave to the sword. You know what I believe was that? He probably got weary in the battle. That happens up north a lot when it's cold and you're swinging a hammer. Danny, you remember that. And you're swinging a hammer for a long time and you get done and you... Some of y'all been holding that sword and holding that shield for a long time in this never-ending battle. And it's been a long time since there's been an extended period that you've been before the Lord and said, Lord, I just need the touch of God. Lord, I just don't have the touch of God like I used to. And I'm trying to produce. We know what our job is. We know what the end results have to be. We know what we're shooting for. But it's just the never-ending battle. That the wind is going to continue blowing. The enemy is going to continue shooting at us. We better take the time. The oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. The water is a picture of the Word of God. And our shield better be anointed and saturated in prayer, in Bible study, and the touch of the Holy Spirit of God upon us. Listen, we need a younger generation. I'm all for every modern tool that, listen, we can use for the glory of God. But don't ever substitute any modern tool for the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon your life. Is your shield dry? You just gotten to the point, it's just wore down. You need some time with the Lord. Let me say this. It's okay to take it. Because if you don't get the touch of God back on your life, if it's waning a little bit, and you don't have the anointing of God on your life, hey, listen. You won't be going too much further. Now, this isn't just for preachers. This isn't just for deacons. What about the preacher's wives? Hey, is the joy gone from ministry? You're just wore down, just going through the motions. We just got to do it, just got to do it. Never ending, never ending. Used to be a time we had the touch of God on us. What about the deacon's wives? What about the Sunday school teachers and their wives or their spouse? What about the youth workers? What about maintenance? What about those that vacuum the auditorium? Man, it's never ending. I've had to vacuum 10 times in the past 3 days. Careful. The never ending battle. Shield get dry. I wonder the first time you grabbed that vacuum cleaner if you were just thankful because God saved you and you got to do something for the cause of Christ. But the never-ending battle, it just goes long. Simple, simple thought tonight. Let me ask you something. Is your shield dry? Yes, the battle's coming. We see that in chapter 21. But he says, listen, prepare the table, eat, drink, set a watchman, but anoint the shield. Is your shield dry? Maybe because of neglect, you might be new to it, and you may say, listen, tonight, I don't understand everything that's being said, but whatever that Bible says about the touch of the Holy Ghost of God upon my life, boy, I want it. Amen. Then get on your face before God and cry out for it. You may be at the end of your battle, the never-ending battle, and you may say, listen, if something doesn't change, I'm not in the fight anymore. You might need to spend some time on your face before the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your touch again. I need your touch. We understand we're not talking about the funny business that goes on down the road. We're talking about the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God upon our lives. I'm talking according to the Scriptures. Is your shield dry? Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed this evening? Is your shield dry? Families, you've been serving. You need to spend some time with the Lord. Just the touch of God. Is your shield dry? Maybe you're new to it. You say, I don't know about that, what I've been taught about the Holy Spirit. No. But you get on your face before the Lord and say, Lord, I need that. There might be some wives. It might be some mamas. Might be some teenagers. You had the power of God upon you. Maybe you're just going your own way, just neglecting the anointing of God upon your life. As they begin to play and sing whatever God's put on their hearts, if you need to find your place and spend some time with Him, that's between you and the Lord.